Welcome to The Pursuit of Purpose, a podcast made possible by SkyLife Success, a SkyPass Group company. Join Krish Dunham, an author and speaker whose messaging has been described as the junction where God's ability and man's availability meet hope's accessibility.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose. This is your host, Krish Dunham, coming to you today from my office in Dallas, Texas. We're in between jaunts. We've just finished a successful tour of Eastern Europe and are in the preparation in about 2 weeks to head back to the motherland of India, which will take me to three different cities and multiple venues. Today, I want to embark down the road of something that we created many moons ago called the currency of thought, the price you pay to think, and the cost you bear for not. So during the course of calendar year 2023, from time to time, we'll bring you a currency of thought episode. I'm not going to give them a nomenclature in terms of chronology by 1, 2, and 3, but we'll tackle different subjects during that time. So the broader heading will just be currency of thought. The byline is always going to be the price you pay to think and the cost you bear for not. We're going to deal with the futility of ignorance of our time and the futility of imagination of our time, or the abundance of ignorance and the futility of imagination. I'm going to deal with two subjects today. One is about past failures and present accountability, and the other is about ascribing authority to ignorance and then yielding yourself to the outcome therein. So this may be a slightly different excursion rather than dealing with just an issue and giving you three moods. I'm going to deal with two issues and allow you to paint the moods for yourself. So the first, now I've documented these in some bite-sized things called the currency of thought. It's got a nice cool picture of the man who thinks and all of that other stuff. I'm not putting this out for too much of public consumption for fear of erroneous interpretation therein, but if you want these little memes to add to your own arsenal of thought, kindly send me an email to krish@krishdunham.com, krish@krishdunham.com, and we'll keep that conversation simple and direct. So back to the currency of thought. The first mood I want to present, or the first frame I want to present, is something that is written as such. The intellectual futility of our time emanates from a fundamental need to loathe yourself or to hate yourself. Somehow, one's ancestral past grieved another's traditional past. You need to loathe yourself because somehow your past grieved another person's past, or your ancestral past grieved another person's ancestral past. So I want you to posit this in your thought process. There are two people walking down Main Street World, Main Street USA, Main Street India, Main Street Philippines. And one person feels that life is fair and that they've had a fair shot. They don't subscribe to the thought of equality. They just want fairness. They want to play the game. They don't want the rules rigged so that they would win. They just want ability to play. On the other side of the same street is a person who feels that the past was maligned because their ancestors somehow were disenfranchised by a populace that either treated them horribly, enslaved them in some horrific conditions, or took advantage of them either as a revolution or in some other way. So the intellectual futility of our time emanates from a fundamental need to loathe yourself because somehow one's ancestral past grieved another's ancestral or traditional past. So this is the byproduct. The behavior is akin to me going to my neighbor. My neighbor probably owns a dog, and I say to my neighbor, because he owns a dog of a similar breed that bit my uncle 50 years ago, I have decided to slap him today. Now, bear in mind, I have no scars of the actual bite, but revel in the misery of proxy by affiliation. That is the fundamental futility of our time. It is we have grief by proxy, and we have this desire to participate in past misery as if it gives us some kind of banner of thoroughness. This thought process has no cure and wants no solution, because ultimately when they bark about something that happened moons ago and asking for you to pay price for it today, they don't want a solution. They just want to somehow rehash old wounds and find a way to rip those scars open so that when that blood flows, they can now cause a new pain and blame you for that process. Because unless you have a constant connection to past limitations, you forfeit the right to present excuses. So therein, there is no solution, because if there were, people would have to rely on the present for future success and not the past for present failure. So that's the futility of our time. We cling to a past mistake that somehow happened to someone at some time, the scars of which may be just a byproduct, which means I have had no bearing on that past. It is like me in India asking my father to be miserable because somehow between the age of 1934 or the year 1934 and the year 1947, when my father was supposedly a subject of the British Empire for 13 years of his life, that subjugation and that subservience that came from imperial domination should have a generational impact on me. I would go on to write a book about the colonial sins of colonial fathers, etc. You do see the asinine thought process that has only one aperture as a result. If my father, who is now 89 years old, somehow clung to that misery of 13 years of absolute hardship, which means a majority of his existence was away from what transpired. A country became free in 47. As a result of that, today in the country of England, we have a person of Indian origin who is the prime minister. India's own participation with Britain and a separation during independence of Pakistan, India has had three presidents who came from an Islamic background. India, supposedly a male-dominant society, has had a woman president and a woman prime minister. So how much are we going to revel in the fact that there was 200 years of imperial domination that actually made 50% of the population still living below the poverty line somehow subjects of British imperialism? I have no scars of the actual bite, because I was born in 1962, a good 15 years after independence. My father may have survived for 13 years during the fight for freedom, but after that he came out unscathed. He got a degree, he got a job, and somehow decided to move forward. But my father had one of two plays. He could either say, hey, we are not going to get ahead because of the domination we've had over our head for those many years, or I'm going to teach you some abilities to succeed in the life that we go ahead to participate in. So the intellectual futility of our time, let me read the whole thing for you, emanates from a fundamental need to loathe yourself because somehow one's ancestral past grieved another's traditional past. This behavior is akin to me slapping my neighbor, the owner of a dog, because a similar breed of dog bit my own uncle 50 years ago. You see, I have no scars of the actual bite, but revel in the misery of proxy. This thought process has no cure and wants no solution, because unless you have a constant connection to past perceived limitations, you forfeit the right to present excuses. There is no solution, because if there were, people would have to rely on the present for future success and not on the past for present failure. So this week, as you participate in your own currency of thought, the price you are going to pay to think and the cost you are going to bear for not, ask yourself, is there any past in your life, in your generational existence, in your ancestral past, that somehow screams victim? Legitimate or illegitimate, are you clinging to that thought in some way? Even though you were not the grieved party, somehow you belong to that generational grief. And as a result, you're trying to live out victimization by proxy. The second deals with our current threats and moods. So the second currency of thought I want to posit for you is the greatest threat to civilization is not the spouting of insanity by those representing the populace. Think about it. The greatest threat to civilization is not the spouting of insanity by those representing the populace, which means people in halls of Congress, people in halls of power, people within the highest levels of academia, people from the executive and the judicial branch. actually spouting insanity that makes no sense. I granted, everything is an existential threat, and there may be some real threats, but everything has now been ascribed to this so-called demolition of the planet because other people choose to live. Whether your fight is against the gas-guzzling automobiles that you have a bent against, or your desire to make sure that the whole world gets on an electric grid that somehow miraculously will just fall from the sky because apparently the electric grid will have no fossil fuel components within it. That's as dumb as a lady saying, I'm not going to take a plane, I'm going to take a boat because the airplane's carbon footprint is messing up the planet, but yet the boat she's on has nylon and fiberglass and everything else that is a byproduct of that fossil fuel industry. The greatest threat to civilization is not the spouting of insanity by those representing the populace. Just look at their net worth, follow the money, and ask yourself, how does someone go from making $7 million a year while they were at the heights of power and now have $600 million a year as they're complaining about the perils of how others are living? They themselves have 3 oceanfront properties while they're convincing you that the entire world is going to be underwater. After weighing all the options, the greatest danger is the people who decide that immaturity coupled with audacity is the best ingredient to represent them in the hallowed halls of power. Immaturity coupled with audacity. These are the people who make $20 million a year and are given a script to act a role, which means they are impersonating someone else, and because of that ability to impersonate someone else, are lauded for their artistic effort and their creative capability. And maybe rightfully so. Some of the things that we have seen on the silver screen of people's methods and methodologies have left us gasping at the brilliance at which they were able to bring a part to life. But the audacity and the immaturity of people who just use a script to then tell us how we need to script our own living, jetting all over the world to try to tell you not to fly, living behind gated compounds with electric fences and telling you that the nation cannot have a blockade, making sure that they are guarded by people who carry all of the latest automation in weaponry, and then telling you that you don't have a right to own something because somehow you are too immature to do so. See, a third grader can tell you that spending all you have left you with nothing. When you spend all you have, you're left with nothing. However, when elected, this same individual treats you like a third grader while convincing you that spending with reckless abandon is the best way to ensure security. Maybe Congress needs to have one of those kindergarten boards where they get to pull a demerit, and when they do something dumb, they got to go and pull a star off or pull a demerit or whatever the teachers used to do. If we treat them like third graders, we may escape landing in this third world oblivion. So the two things of currency of thought are, first, the absolute futility that emanates from asking yourself to hate yourself because someone in your past did something bad to someone else in your past, and as a result of that, you have to live out the proxy of misery. And the second, which is probably a greater threat at this time, is the immaturity and the insanity and the absolute audacity of people we elect into power, who tell us how to live lives by not using 1 + 1 = 2, but somehow 1 + 1 = 400, and as a result of that, there is no price to pay. Ponder this week. Send us some emails, your thoughts, your comments, your opinions. If you like this strain, this quasi-sarcastic and yet look with some amount of knowledge and wisdom, we'll bring more to you. But this is your host, Krish Dunham, bringing you the currency of thought, the price you pay to think, and the cost you bear for not. Until next time, good luck. God bless.
And that concludes another episode of The Pursuit of Purpose with Krish Dunham, brought to you by Skylife Success. Please subscribe, rate, and visit us on the web at krishdunham.com and skylifesuccess.com, where you can find our social media links and access to additional resources. Till next time, happy learning and happy living.